Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're at part 169 tonight of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 271. If you need a copy of it, if you'd like to have one, it's absolutely free. The shipping and handling is also free. If you need a Bible, if you don't have enough money to buy a Bible, we'll send you one. And I have like mountains of literature that I've written and a Messiah book to get you started to be hopefully an evangelist. And you can be a distributor of our literature if you're desirous of opening up a church and you don't have the money. We started in the ministry in our house, and it got so full, and we prayed that God would give us a church, and He did. It was an actual dope den, and we went there. They invited us to preach the gospel, and when we did, everybody in the whole dope den got saved. And then after that, we were busting out of the seams. We would teach the Bible and send everyone out in the streets to distribute literature, which we'd go with them. And then after that, we had to pray for a bigger place, and that happened. And then we had to get another place out in Saugus, Newhall, Valencia. We started out in Hollywood, California. Well, we have a lot of different things we're going to be talking, comparing today again the Bible with Roman canon law to show how off the beam this world government is, and the world church, the Satan's church that sits on his seat in Rome. This is Satan's seat, and also much of the news media, not all, but much of it is linked together. The big threesome combo that a lot of people fear, but the Bible says that we're not to fear the devil, but we're to fear him and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. We have some music and some testimonies and Bible reading. And so right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your name for the way that the people in the world are responding to your word. We know that we're on the right track because we're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought out all these things, people on their deathbeds, and they're hearing the things that you've given me to write, and they get saved just under the wire. Lord, open up every mind, heart, soul, and give everybody the faith to receive your word, that their souls might be saved. And Lord, that the church, and many of the people that are falling away, Lord, that are lukewarm, fill them with your spirit and renew them, and also set the church on higher ground. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody says, Amen.
Amen.
It's long, I like it. Amen. Okay, so I'd like to sing a little song for you here. It's called Lead Me, Guide Me, and it's me with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet.
Lead me, oh Lord. Won't you lead me?
I am tired and I need thy strength and power to guide me, O Lord, all my darkest doubt. Lord, just open mine eyes that I might see.
Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me? Lead me, guide me
along. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, just open my eyes that I may see.
Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me?
I am lost, if you take your hand from me. I am blind without thy light to see. Lord, just always let me thy servant be.
Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me? Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, just open my eyes that I may see. Lead me, oh Lord, won't you lead me?
Lead, guide, and direct me. How in the world can people understand how to be led by the Lord? Well, the Bible says that His Word is a lamp unto your feet. And the book of Proverbs, I mentioned this in yesterday's message, is the actual pattern of how we should live our life. If you read the book of Proverbs, that will lead, guide, and direct you into all things. Of course, you have to read the rest of the Bible as well. So, but the key word in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. The ability, and wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully, a godly life in an ungodly world. However, it is no simple assignment from God to live a godly life in an ungodly world. Proverbs provides God's detailed instructions on how to do that. Okay, so now we have quite a few things to do on this broadcast, but remember, pick up the book of Proverbs and you'll get a good idea of how to live your life. It's all from God, and you know that God is not going to, He wants to lead you into the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't want to lead you astray. So any other law, any other word other than the word of God is going to lead you astray. The Lord said, I am the way. If you want to know the way to the Lord, and the Bible says that He is the word of God. So I am the way, and I am the truth. Let every man be called a liar. Let every religion be called a liar, because only Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Only He. Anyone attempting to get into the kingdom of heaven other than by Him is a thief and a robber. And I can tell you from the Word of God that no thief or robber is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now we have some responses from the radio, from the newspapers, from our literature, from our website. So you want to read some of them, Lydia?
Yes.
Where's the first one from?
Texarkana, Texas.
Wow, right here in our stomping grounds, right?
Yes.
Let's go.
Sunday morning, I was reading Pastor Tony Alamo's literature, That's What It's All About. The Holy Spirit put it upon my heart to take this literature to read the Word of God to a lady around 88 years old that had been in a nursing home and had a stroke. She was taken to the hospital and was too ill to eat any food and so weak she wasn't able to speak much.
Now this literature is, That's What It's All About, is actually the one that gave it to us was a woman that was in a rest home in Chicago, Illinois. Our people were walking down the hallway, one of our witnessing crews. They like to take presents to the elderly. Many of them, their sons and daughters just threw them aside like an empty Coca-Cola can, and they just crush them. But, you know, these older folks have feelings, you know, and they get hurt. And they love it when our people come because we're going to bring them fruit and some little presents. And mainly we preach the gospel to them and teach them how to be saved. Well, Teresa here, Sister Teresa, I just came back from Africa with her husband, and she saw That's What It's All About, and it's, we used to call it That's What It's All About Bessie, because Bessie Haskell is the one that wrote that piece of literature, and that's the last piece of literature that we put in the paper. It was in last week, and we've got another one coming into the paper this week called The Tree. Okay, and so she was in a rest home. She was old. And I loved her testimony so much that I didn't want her to go on to be with the Lord and know that that was it. I asked her if we could record her giving us that testimony and if she would allow me to distribute it throughout the world, and she said yes. And so I told the brothers that were there in Chicago at the rest home to take a tape recorder in there and tape her, and that we would I'd have it printed up and get it all over the world. And that's what we're doing, right? We've been doing that for years. That testimony must have come into us over 20 years ago. It's supernatural. So you'll have to read that. You can order it. It's absolutely free of charge and other things. But anyway, so we ran it last Sunday in the Texarkana paper. And this touched Teresa. Like I said, she was there in Africa for our ministry with her husband, Buster. And they really did a lot of good out there. And now they're back. And so she saw the testimony of Bessie. That's what it's all about. And she tore it out of the newspaper. She cut it out very neatly. And she knew of this 88-year-old woman in the hospital. And she took it over to her, and she was semi in a coma. But when people are in comas, they can hear. They hear even better than you do. And the way you can tell that they're hearing is you can take a hold of their hand and say, if you hear and understand what I'm saying, squeeze my hand, if it's yes. If it's no, then you can tell them to squeeze it twice or three times, or don't squeeze it at all, whatever code you want to use. So Teresa saw it in the paper. She loved it. It touched her, Bessie's testimony. And she took it over to the hospital. And this is what Teresa had to say. She read it to her, and go ahead, continue on.
Okay. Reading the whole article to her as she slept, she opened her eyes, and I thought to myself, has she heard me all along?
Oh, yes, she heard you. And what else?
I asked her if she was ready to be saved, and she said, yes, I want to see Jesus. I said the sinner's prayer as she whispered along with me the best she could. Her eyes filled with tears, and she said to me, I will never die. I will live forever with Jesus. Thank you, Tony, for the literature that allows people to understand the Word of God and for the sinner's prayer that helps those receive salvation. From Sister Teresa and Emily, Texarkana, Texas.
Praise the Lord. That's beautiful, Teresa, Sister Teresa. Okay, and what else?
Then a lady from Easton, Pennsylvania, who read Brace Yourselves in the New York Daily News, called the witnessing line saying, I'm thrilled. This is great. Pastor Lama was right on. I got the New York Daily News only because I like the crossword puzzles in there. This is one of the very few pieces of literature I've ever seen and read that is right on. This article called Brace Yourselves just takes your breath away. There are so many false prophets out there. They're all talking about prosperity, and they are leading people down the wrong road.
Well, I talk about prosperity, too, but in a different manner than they do. I say that we belong to the commonwealth of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and that all that is in the kingdom of heaven is commonly distributed to all the members of the kingdom of God. This is not a religion. The kingdom of God enters into your body, Jesus, with his Father by the Holy Spirit, and he becomes our Father, our Savior, our Messiah, and we become, the Bible says, the sons of God. And the power of God enters into us, and we then are able to keep the commandments. Now, the law came with Moses. A lot of people are talking, you know, well, Adam and Eve, when they had Cain and Abel, that They must have had twin sisters, and they did. They did have twin sisters, and I can go into that. It's a whole different message. And so many people today that are carnal, they can't understand the Bible because the Bible has to be spiritually discerned. And when the Spirit of God enters into you, then you are given the Spirit of the Lord. He's in you, and you are then able to understand the Scriptures. And you have to continue reading them in order to increase your faith. We're all given the measure of faith. It's like a starting kit. The Spirit enters into you, and you have faith enough to get saved. But then you also have to have enough faith to read the Word of God and to study so that you can increase your faith. By faith we're saved, and by doubt we're damned. By faith we're healed, and by doubt we're not healed. We die. By faith, there isn't anything that we can receive from the Lord without faith. And so faith is our shield. And faith is, the shield is faith in prayer. So when you raise up your voice to the Lord in faith, believing, that's when you can receive everything that you need, providing that it is the will of God. And so read Proverbs, and you'll start getting the idea of what God wants you to do in this world. And then Psalms, and then you can have enough faith to get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Genesis, and all the other books in the Bible. But let's continue here. Where's this? What are we doing here?
Again, Pastor Alamo's writing is impeccable, she said. She would like to receive taped messages and other information of Alamo Ministries. This is from Chen in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Right. You can get the tapes or CDs. They're free of charge. Postage, handling, taken care of. If you need a Bible, we'll send you one. And I've written hundreds of pieces of literature, and I've recorded thousands of messages in the 42 years and almost a half that I've been saved. Then what?
And from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Tony Alamo, I was listening to your radio program on KAAY 1090 AM, and I love your true teachings, not the sugar-coated type like a lot of preachers teach. I also read your article in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and I believe how true it is, what you were saying and wrote. I pray that other people will take your words to heart and realize just how close we are to the end of days. Thank you for your time and trouble and your honesty in your preaching and teaching. I just pray others will also see the truth. God bless you in Christ. Dolan from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, and God bless you as well. And I know He will. You've got the right spirit. I feel a kindred spirit with you and all the people that have written these letters. And thank God for that 88-year-old lady that got saved. Amen?
Amen.
She's close to the kingdom of heaven. You know, when I saw Jesus, I didn't want to stay here in this world. And I can imagine how excited she is that she's about ready to go. I don't envy. I would never want to be young again or, you know, back at the 10, 20 years old or something like that and have to go through the whole thing again. I'm just really happy. See, you know, a friend of mine, Gary Paxton, wrote a song, "We're Not Growing Older, Just Closer to God." Amen?
Amen.
We're not growing older, just closer to God. You might have recorded that. You can get one by ordering Gary's record. Okay, and then what else?
From Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dear Tony Alamo, I wanted to write a short note to let you know how refreshing and awesome the article and prayer is that you had in the Minneapolis Star Tribune paper. I smile and wonder how many people saw this. You had a whole page. How could anyone miss that? Did you do this in other states or cities?
Oh, yes. The New York Daily News, Houston Paper, Chicago Tribune, Sacramento, California, the state capital, San Diego, San Bernardino, all of the papers in Montana, the major papers, and Miami. What's the Miami paper name?
Herald.
The Miami Herald. We were in there. And some of them we run two pages, a page and a half. A lot of times we do that. And the cost is astronomical. And I've been asked by people, how could you spend so much money on just a newspaper? Because Jesus, the Word of God, your soul is so important to the Lord that he actually gave his life so that you, if you were the only one that ever got saved, could be saved. There's no greater price in the whole world, and money is like dirt in the kingdom of heaven. The streets are lined with gold. Amen?
Amen.
And so gold is a put down in heaven, you know? The streets are made out of it, the curbs and the gutters. I doubt there's any gutters, all right? But anyway, so, you know, what are we going to do? Keep our money in the bank and then go out to meet God, and he'll say, oh, why were you holding that money in the bank? Well, we spent $250,000 two Sundays ago just on newspapers to get the gospel out to you folks. And a lot of people appreciate it. We've got lots of letters, and the emails keep rolling in. We can't even keep up with it. And so we need more help. If you'd like to do something for the Lord, you want to be a volunteer, come on. Come on down, okay? And we'll put you to work for the Lord. Okay, and then what else?
It was an awesome message to see and to read. Your prayer was very powerful. We need to see more and more of this, especially in the time we live in now. We need more of what you did. I just want to say thank you, and may God bless you every day in your work. Sincerely, Christine from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and then where's the next one from? You got another one there?
One more.
Well, do we have several hundred of them to read?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Several thousand. Okay, but we only do two or three, or maybe this time we'll do four. Okay, and then what else?
Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is your family and ministry? I hope fine.
They are. And thank you. I hope your family is well, and you are too. Then what else?
The reason why I'm writing you this letter is that by the power of God, I have one of your newsletters. I read it, and the Lord has changed my life. Now I am living a new life, which is in Christ Jesus. I have received the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior through reading your newsletters. The person who gave me the newsletter was my friend as a man of God who preaches the news to other people who are living in the bondage of sin. Through your help, they can see the light of the gospel. When I finished reading the newsletter, my heart was desiring the word of God to be preached, because if the sinners die in their sins, I know that surely they will be in the everlasting fire. So please send me more of your literature to help me help others by preaching the gospel to them. I end here with my letter. May the Almighty God bless you and give you long life to preach. Your brother in the Lord, John from Sefwi, Wiaso, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, brother, yes. Thank you very much. And send them the Messiah book. Do they speak French or English?
English.
Okay, and then send them the literature and encourage them to become a distributor out there. We have hundreds of distributors, maybe thousands of them by now, all over the world. And this is what the Lord wants. He saved our souls so that we would win other souls by preaching the gospel. You can tell when a person is really saved. They just want to get out there and get the word of God to people. And we'll provide you the word of God with the things that the Lord has given me to write. And they win souls, you know. And so, you know, why start with something else? Of course, the Lord is going to give you things too, but you can do that. You know for sure that they're going to get saved when they read this literature. Amen?
Amen.
Because it breaks down the Bible in a simple way, the way I write, the Lord gave me to write. And that's just it. Now let's open the book of Proverbs.
Okay.
And let's read from, we did 1 through 6, did we not, yesterday? Well, let's go to 7, because this is the book that's going to show you how to live a godly life in a ungodly world. And that's one of the books. But then when you read that, that would encourage you to read Genesis and Exodus and all the other books, and then the New Testament as well. Okay? Because you cannot know the New Testament if you don't know the Old. So many people put the Old Testament down. Jesus preached from the Old Testament. All the prophets and all the apostles preached from the Old Testament as well. That's the Bible that talks about creation, how you were created out of the dirt of the ground, and how the entire universe was built by the Word of God, and how it exists, and how perfect it is. How we can tell years from now when the sun is going to rise up, when it's going to set, what kind of a tide it's going to be that day, because it's more precise. It is with more precision than a Swiss watch movement. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's read some of this, just some of it, before we get into Roman canon law and to compare that with the Bible, the Word of God. Okay? You got the Word of man as fighting the Word of God. Do you believe such insolence?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
We left off at 8.
We left off at 8, okay. Well, let's read 8 again.
My son, hear the instruction of thy father.
If you're the son of God, then hear the instruction. What?
Of thy father.
Of your fathers, the ones that have been in the gospel, that knows the word of God. Because David instructed Solomon. So Solomon was David's son. And then we are all obligated to preach the gospel and teach our children the word of God if we love them. And we also are not only to preach it, but if they need chastisement. Some people believe today that you should never take privileges away from children that are disobedient. But we do that here, and occasionally, thank God, it's not often that we have to spank a child. Now, of course, Dr. Spock, an Antichrist person, said you should never spank a kid, just let him go wild. And that's why we have, the Bible is the law of God. And that's why we have lawlessness today, because people say are fighting the Word of God. People are hypocrites. And they don't want to, some of them don't want to be hypocrites, so they know they're out getting drunk all the time, and they're on booze. And so when their children are smoking pot, taking pills, uppers, downers, inners, outers, sniffing gas and glue and all these different things that they get high with, well, they don't say anything to their children because they come in soused at night, and they're no example to the children, so they're not going to listen to the parents. But that's why you have a Father in heaven that is your parent, your real creator, and the one that died for your soul, that it can be saved and shed his precious blood for you. So listen to the word of God. No matter how far your parents have gone astray, live a godly life before them, and then they'll get saved. If you love your parents, then, you know, don't condemn them for what they're doing, because they're already condemned by God. Live a godly life before them, and you can do that by reading, start out with Proverbs, if you need, if we all need that book. And I'm just dwelling on that book. I'll dwell on many other books from time to time, because they're all the Word of God. All right, so let's start out with 8. You already read part of it. Read it again.
My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother.
Okay, your father is God Almighty. And your mother, he calls wisdom the mother. Amen?
Amen.
The fear of the Lord. Right?
Amen.
Okay, so be fearful, because the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Well, how do you know what his commandments are unless you read the Bible? And read the King James Version only. Not the New King James, but the King James Version. All right? Then what?
Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head.
Now, grace, Shakespeare changed the word power to grace. And the false teachers today are saying grace means undeserved favor, but that isn't what it means. It means power of God. By God's grace, in other words, by God's power, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
And the power of God, or what do you want to call it, the grace of God, the power of God is going to raise everybody from the dead on the last day. Amen?
Amen?
And people are going to be judged. And by God's power, the world is sitting in space. And it's rotating so many times that it comes up exactly. Everybody that works in the newsrooms or the weather, they know when the sun is going to come up tomorrow morning. They know when it's going to set, because of the precision that God has. So many people receive God just by looking at the precision of the universe and the way it is and how it can actually guide you at sea by the stars, and the tide comes in a certain time. And there's just all things are known because of the Word of God and the way God teaches us. Okay, and then keep going.
For they should be an ornament of grace unto thy head.
An ornament of power. Just every time it says grace, use power. An ornament of power. Ye shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You can't get saved by the power of some religion, because there's a lot of people gathered together. But it's by the Spirit of God that enters into your body when you ask Jesus to come in. And that's when the power comes into you. And then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's another thing. Jesus blew the Spirit of the Holy Spirit into his disciples when he came into the assembly of them when they were in a room filled with fear. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he blew on them and they received it. Now he says, now tarry in Jerusalem until the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes down, because the Bible says that ye shall have power to be in the ministry after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the sign that you have it is that you'll speak. Not, you won't be yammering, like you hear some people do. They go, yeah, it's stuff like this. It's crazy, you know. I mean, they're not speaking in tongues, and they don't believe it. And they do that when there is no interpreter there. And that's illegal, according to the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
And that isn't it. It's the actual language. And there are people that the Lord gives the interpretation of that language in the congregation. And people should be praying for these gifts, because secrets about somebody in that congregation that nobody else knows. Like Susie knew a Rabbi Sonderling that she was witnessing to when she was... This is my deceased wife, Susie. She died in... She went on to be with the Lord April 8th, 82. She's witnessing to this rabbi. And he says, daughter, why are you spending so much time with these deep things? He says, he's not saved. And she says, well... Because, she says, I'm born again, I'm saved, and she witnessed to him the way that the Lord told her to. And all of a sudden, she started speaking in tongues. And she didn't know how to speak Hebrew, but he started yelling at her, daughter, stop. Don't stop saying that. Don't say that. Stop. And she just continued on until the Lord lifted. And she said, what did I say? I don't speak Hebrew. He says, I know that. And I know that you didn't know what you were saying. And she said, what did I say? And finally, she pressured, you don't know Susie like I know Susie. She really knew the Lord. And finally he told her, he says, sister, I was on the death march in Bataan. They were leading us as prisoners of war. And he said, when on the march, we were walking down below, and on the top of a hill, I saw Moses standing there with his staff, and the wind was blowing in his hair. And he says, and then behind him I saw the Messiah dying on the cross. I saw Yeshua dying on the cross behind him. It was big. And he says, I've never told that to anybody. That's speaking in tongues, okay? That's what speaking in tongues is all about. It's not just to make a lot of noise. And it always happens with somebody that's really led of the Lord, not some people that are just trying to show off to people in the congregation. And so she says, why don't you tell your congregation that? He says, I can't, sister. I'm too old. I can't fight them. Now, the Jews, some of them, you know, they're pretty stubborn, and... I know that because I'm Jewish myself, and I know a lot of Jewish people, and they're very vibrant people. They're the only people on the face of this earth that was that were resurrected from a dead womb. Sarah was beyond the age of having children.
And Abraham was beyond the age to have children. Yet this entire race was raised out of from the dead.
So Jewish people are very special. I mean, they're like supernatural. They wouldn't be alive if it wasn't a miraculous situation between Abraham and Sarah. Amen?
Amen.
This was the Spirit of God. And so she says, well, you have to tell him you're going to go out to meet God soon. And he says, how did you know? I mean, I know you don't know how to speak Hebrew, but you told me something that no one knew except God. That's speaking in tongues. Isn't that supernatural?
Amen.
All right, so, you know, seek that. Seek the Holy Spirit so that you can have power. And pray for gifts like speaking in tongues and also for prophesying, speaking in tongues and interpreting. And other gifts of the Spirit. They're all listed in the Bible. I don't have enough time to list them all right now. But continue on in Proverbs. What verse are you on now?
9. 9.
For
they shall be an ornament of power unto thy head.
Okay, an ornament of power, which they call grace. Shakespeare changed, he rewrote the King James Version, but he didn't put his own, he didn't change the scriptures except he changed some of the words. He thought that the Holy Spirit meant, or the power meant grace. And so, you know, the King James Version is right if you just know the words to use. Okay, like instead of grace, put power always. The law came with Moses. Now, Adam and Eve, and the people back then, there wasn't many people on the earth, but back then, it was okay to marry your sister or your brother, because there was no law. And when there's no law, the law came with Moses. I mean, years and years later. And so in order to replenish the earth, it was all right to marry your sister or your brother. Well, we think that's awful. Well, maybe you're holier than God, okay? Why don't you, when you get up before God, tell him, I'm holier than you, God. You sure got a nasty Bible. And then see what happens to you, okay? Whatever God says is holy is holy, all right? All right, and so you're not holier than God. I had an aunt that said, Tony, whatever you do, don't read the Bible. And I says, why? I wasn't even saved. And I said, oh, really, why? She said, because it's nasty. And I said, nasty, the Bible? And she said, yes. And she says, only read the New Testament, because it talks about these things in the Old Testament. And it talks about people that, and you can see the things happening today, these dog and pony shows where women are having sexual relationships and men with animals and things like that. The Lord just tells the truth. Amen?
Amen.
And that offends a lot of people. But you look into, you tear the front of their houses off and look into the rooms and see what they do. Anybody that hates the word of God is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord lays it out on the, right out on the table, everything. So you can see good and evil. We know it anyway because of Eve. She ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen?
Amen.
And so there you are. Good and evil. Before, all the only evil thing was that they knew was don't eat from the tree. What an easy thing that would have been to abstain from. Amen?
Amen?
That would have been so easy. You know, don't eat from that tree. If God told me that, it says, no problem. Amen?
Amen?
And don't let anything come into the garden. Guard it. And don't let the devil get in here. And especially talk to your wife. She's touched in her head. She knew the commandment. She knew that she wasn't supposed to, but the Satan beguiled her, just like Satan has deceived the entire world today. The Bible says in the last days, the entire world, with the exception of those of us that are born again of the Spirit and love the Word of God, the whole world would be deceived. And you see that they are. They're killing their own babies. That's first degree murder. They're committing adultery and fornication. And that is not only a no-no, these things send your soul to hell. The people are lying. They're bringing false accusations against strong Christian works. They're twisting the Bible. They're saying the things that are in the Bible are evil, and that whatever they make up in their mind is good. It's just, you've got a bunch of demon-possessed people today that even call themselves Christians. And you just have to, as a guide, you have to read the Word of God so you can discern who is of the Lord and who is not. Because there's millions of people that claim to be Christians, and yet they're devils. And the Bible tells you that. He says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. They use the Word of God as to deceive people, and they antagonize people and attack people. They're the most scroungy people on the face of this earth. The Lord calls them dogs, vipers, evil spirits, sons and daughters of the devil. But when we preach, but we pray for those kind of people all the time. And when we do, God starts pouring coals of fire on them. And then they start complaining, oh, my husband is, was put in the hospital. He's got cancer. He's dying. He's got, his legs don't work anymore and all that. And they think that that's because of righteousness. No, if you're saved and the signs follow you that you are saved, that you heal people by the power of God, you preach healing to them, you raise the dead. These are signs that that you're of the Lord. Well, and instead, my dad's about ready to die, and my husband's going to have his legs cut off or some kind of thing like that. And they don't realize that they're cursed because they're attacking the house of God based on a bunch of liars. And there's that stuff is going on all over the world. There's the political system, the media are saying people out in the world are devils, demons. And the whole world government has tried to stop this work of God, my work, and Susie's work, but they haven't been able to do it for 42 years. You see, don't you know that we have guns, tanks, bombs, and bullets? You have all those things, but remember, God created the heavens and the earth, and with his word, he can stop you in your tracks. And so all God has to do is say to you, be dead, and you're dead. How many people of Sennacherib's army lay dead on the ground when God sent one angel down to destroy them? Anybody know? 185,000 men lay dead, and because they were talking big time. We're going to do this to you. We're going to run you out of town. We're going to take you down. We're going to bust your walls down, and we're going to make you eat your own dung and your own urine. Well, the next morning, because, say, you people are, we defeated everybody else, and we'll defeat God and God's people. Well, they all lay dead on the ground the next morning. Amen. And then Sennacherib started running like a dog that had been hit by a car. And he went into his place of worship, his idol worshiper, and his sons came in there and killed him. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, if I were you, I'm giving you fair warning, because the Lord doesn't want you to go to hell, and I don't either. You better stop. You better stop antagonizing the people of God, because they're busy winning souls while you vicious dogs are planning the destruction of the greatest work of God that's been on this earth for hundreds of years. Now take that and see if you'll swallow it. But if you just keep getting worse and worse, I'm warning you that God will take care of you, and you're not going to like it. Okay, then what?
And chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
Yeah, don't sin. Don't because of a couple, you know, somebody's voice that's racing up against God's work. Don't listen to them. witness back to them and tell them you can't win a fight against God.
Okay, then what?
Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause.
Yeah, let's just make them miserable. Let's run them out of town without a cause. Is it that the people of the Lord have never bothered anybody? What they do has made everything better in the world. They're winning souls. I wouldn't be in your boots for all the tea in China and all the money in the world, and for that matter, the world itself. What is this going to profit you? Then what?
Verse 12, let us swallow them up alive as the grave.
Yeah, we got, you know, we did this and we did that. Now we're going to get you. Oh, all right. Come on. Okay, then what?
And whole as those that go down into the pit. Verse 13, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil.
Yeah, you're going to take over our properties, right? You're going to be a big wheel, man. You'll be in the newspapers, too, won't you? Because you defeated God and God's people. Well, you're not God's people. Well, who made you a judge? You're to judge all things by the word of God. And you folks must not know it, or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing, okay? All over the world I'm talking about people like that. Then what?
Verse 14, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse.
Keep going.
Verse 15, my son, walk now not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird.
See, even a bird with its bird brain would not run into a net. But what anyone that does this sort of thing is doing, is you're running right into a net. If you knew the word of God, you wouldn't do that, unless you're just stupid and you got some kind of mental problem. Okay, then what?
Verse 18, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives.
So people that do that are just laying in wait for your own blood, your own life. And you're calling down condemnation on yourself. Okay, well, so this is a little bit of Roman canon law here now. I promise that, and so we do a little bit. Now, here's Roman canon law, the law that you currently are living under.
The Church of Christ...
Okay, but it was supposed to be the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But they're closing down on churches. They're doing all sorts of things. And you people that are doing this, that are following Satan's orders from Rome, you're going to be destroyed. And I'm saying this... I'm just telling you what's going to happen to you. So the best thing for you to do as God says, come out from among her, my people. Be ye holy and clean and separate. Don't be part of this one world government, which is the Antichrist government that the Bible talks about. A lot of people think it's going to be a one single man. But John stated in the New Testament that these are Antichrists. There are many Antichrists even today, he said. The Antichrist is a combination, a corporate body of millions of people that are anti-Christ, anti-God. That means they're the Antichrist, okay? There's the body of Christ, and we all that are of Christ, we don't do anything other than what he says to do, and what he says is fine in the Bible. And the Old Testament, he says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the only things that's changed in the Old Testament is there's no more animal sacrifices because Jesus is the sacrifice, the true sacrifice. So that's done away with. And the law of circumcision. But the Ten Commandments and many more commandments are now intact because we have the power of God living in us, those of us that are born again of the Spirit. And we are able to do more than conquerors. We're able to be more than conquerors at keeping our souls intact in the Spirit of God until Jesus comes back to earth again, or until we die and our spirit goes up to the Lord immediately if we're saved. And those that are not, they go to hell immediately, and then all of our spirits are reunited with our bodies. Even if they're like little grains of dust, it'll all be back together because we're all going to be judged for the things that we did in our bodies. Okay, now, so, be careful. We're going to be judged. The Lord sees everything. Amen? Yeah. Okay, read a little bit more here.
The Church of Christ, according the teaching of Vatican Council II...
See, they're saying that the churches are have to be according to Vatican II. Well, the Bible calls the Vatican, where Satan's seat is in Rome, that's the Antichrist. And I don't want my church, the Lord says, to separate myself from the Antichrist. Amen?
Amen.
So, therefore, I'm not going to have anything to do with that organization. And here, they're trying to impose their law on us. And then, out of one corner of their mouth, they're saying, there's a separation between church and state. Well, they are both church and state. All that organization is a big political combine. And they are the biggest liars on the face of the earth, because it's powered by that great red dragon, the devil. And the devil is a liar and the father of it. He can't tell the truth no matter what. And so this is the exact opposite of the Bible. Then go ahead.
The Church of Christ, according to the teaching of Vatican Council II, quote, subsists in the Catholic Church, which is governed by the successor of Peter and by the bishops.
No, Peter was not. Peter would roll over in his grave if he heard this. But he's not in his grave. He's up in heaven right now. Peter was a Jew, not an Italian. And he wasn't from, he was a Jew. And he was one of the preachers in the book of Acts that preached such a gospel that thousands of people were saved at the same time. He's a Jew, and he believed in the gospel, which is the exact opposite of what these people are saying. These are idol worshipers. They worship idols. They worship Mary. They pray to Mary. This is a sin. The Bible says anyone preaching any other doctrine, any other gospel other than what we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. So that's an accursed cult. And they're slaughtering. They've slaughtered millions of Christians down through the years. And some people say, well, who can make war with the beast? Tony, you're crazy for saying thing about them, because they're so powerful. Just like the vision I saw of the Antichrist, which loomed into the king, like almost way up into the sky. And it looked it was angry with me. Read that piece of literature that I wrote called The Tree. But right now I see that our time is up, and before we're going to get another message straight from the throne of the Lord tomorrow. So make sure that you turn in. You're not going to hear this with any other preacher in the world. Unless, I'm sure there are some, but I don't know of any, except from the people that are writing in here. They really love the Word of God. But right now, it's up to you. You can say, I have a choice. Everyone has a choice as to whether they can go to heaven or hell. You're a free moral agent. Now, you can say, I'm going to reject you, Lord, or I'm going to accept you and reject Satan. That's up to you. Now is the acceptable time of salvation. Now is the time for you to receive your salvation. If you say, I'll wait a while, then you reject the Lord. So don't do that. Say the sinner's prayer right now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And your word is right. Your word created everything, the heavens, the earth, and everything that is in both of them. And your word is our guide in this world of darkness. So, Lord, you said that all that call upon you are saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, tell them four ways to receive a copy of this tape or CD, a Bible, literature, whatever, and the Messiah book.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, now heaven is so high, you have to go through Jesus. He's the door to the kingdom of heaven. And it's so wide you can't get in anywhere but the door. It's so low that you can't get under it. You got to go right in the door. And here I am singing So High with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps.
So high,
so high, you can't get up.
So wide,
so wide, you can't get around.
So low,
so low,
can't get up out of here.
Well, come in the door.
Well, I went down in the valley. You know I didn't grow very still. My soul got happy in the valley. You know I stayed right there all day and
so high, you can't get up.
And it's what?
So high, you can't get up.
I know so low.
So low, can't get up.
Might as well.
Come in
at the door where I've been to heaven. But I'm told the streets are of gold. And the mighty, 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 mighty gates are pearl and
sand. So high, can't get
up. So wide,
so wide, can't get
up. So low,
so low, can't get
up. You might as well come in. Well, it's
high. So high, can't get
up.
So high, can't get up.
I know,
so low, can't get up.
Might as well come in the door.